الحكيم، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، أرواحنا له فداء. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفحكم الجاهلية يبغون ومن أحسن من الله حكما لقوم يوقنون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Our discussion has revolved around verse 50 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, that is chapter 5 of the Quran, verse 50, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he poses this question which we all must respond to. We all must answer this question. The question is, do they desire, do they want the governance, the judgment between themselves to be based upon al-jahiliyya, based upon a state of unenlightenment? And who is better to put forth a governance? Who is better to put forth a method of judging between yourselves than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? لِقَوْمِ يُوقِنُونَ. Again, for that nation, for that people who has certainty. And that's why we have spoken about the jahiliyyah, that what is the state of jahiliyyah? So that we can contrast it to the state that we should be in, the position that we should be in, to be among those nations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that they are qawmun yuqinun, that they have certainty in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put forth for us to govern ourselves by. They have certainty in that method and the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put forth for us to judge between ourselves. And that enlightenment or Islam, or that thing which, again, those nation that has certainty, they should base their life upon, we said it revolves around three things, three principles. And that is Tawheed, the divine Sharia, divine law, and ethics, which is taqwa, founded upon taqwa. Because this is the contention between Islam and al-jahiliyyah. Al-jahiliyyah, the state of unenlightenment, which again was not simply the period before the coming of the Prophet. It was a mindset, it was a way of living, a way of life. And the Prophet came to take people out of that way of life, of jahiliyyah. But unfortunately, we see that even after the Prophet, that things were reverting back to the jahiliyyah. This is what led to the shahadat of Imam Hussein, led to the shahadat and martyrdom of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhalus salatu wassalam. And even today, we live in this state of jahiliyyah, that there's a state of unenlightenment around us. So if these three points or three foundations of an Islamic society or Islamic reform, Tawheed, oneness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a vision about the about monotheism, but not only a theoretical idea of monotheism, one that is practical, one that permeates and also affects our lives, whereby it creates unity even among people. This is how Tawheed actually translates into something that is practical, not just simply theoretical, as we have discussed. And I'm only saying this because there are some who have not joined us from the beginning, so at least that they will have some understanding of what we are discussing in these final days leading up to Arba'een. We discuss three practical, or thus far, two practical ways in order to implement the Islamic reform within our lives. And of course, these two things that we mention, again, at its foundation are those principles of Tawheed, of monotheism, of the divine Sharia, and of ethics, of taqwa, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those two things were, first, having respect for humanity, and second, founding and establishing brotherhood among yourselves, among the believers in particular. And before we move on to the third, I just want to make one point about this topic which we spoke about yesterday, which was brotherhood and the importance of it. Just so that we, again, to understand the importance of brotherhood. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, just to emphasize this idea and the concept of brotherhood and why it is so important within Islam, he states that the most unfortunate person, he says, if you want to see him, who is the most unfortunate person? He says, it is that person who is unable to establish a brotherhood, to find someone that individual connects with, and they are like brothers. He says, this is the most unfortunate person. And he says, but yet there is someone even more unfortunate than this individual. And he says, and that is the one who has established a relationship with himself and someone else as brothers, but then he has lost that brother. Meaning that they were not able to maintain that unity as brothers, that relationship as brothers. Again, because one who is the brother of another brother, a brother in iman, not necessarily blood brother, but they are brothers in faith. These are two individuals who are helping each other and one another, again, to go through this journey of life successfully. They are helping one another to make it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the day of judgment, that they will also be with one another. On the day of judgment, that if one's actions fall short, then the other will give intercession for him. So this is why Imam Ali says the most unfortunate person is one who doesn't have this brother. And even more unfortunate, one who has this brotherhood, but he loses it. That he does something, or that individual does something, and this unity, this relationship between two individuals with their focus upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and returning back to Allah, he loses that. So with the salawat, inshallah, we'll move forward into the next two categories. The third practical aspect of establishing or reforming ourselves, first and foremost, reforming our community and reforming our society, it is to understand, or at least to create an atmosphere of equality. And along with this, I'll also give the fourth, or speak about the fourth aspect of, again, establishing reform, or reforming ourselves, reforming our communities and our society. What Imam Hussein alayhi hafizatu salam, what he rose to do, his mission. And that is to, again, once we establish this idea and we establish equality within a society or within a community, that no one has kudus, or no one has any particular advantage over another person, or is looked upon as they're being better than another person, except based upon on the principles of taqwa, of consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, as we will see, that one who has taqwa, this is the individual, he does not exalt himself over others. But it is for others to recognize and to see that, well, if this individual has piety, he has more consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then yes, therefore there is a certain position that that person may have within a society or within the community. But it's not that person who himself will put himself in that position. Why? Because taqwa, that is counter to taqwa, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the two things which must, again, flourish within the community, which must be established within the community. Equality among the believers. And if anyone has any special or has special treatment, it's based upon the taqwa, the consciousness of that individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just to explain this, because when we examine these things, we must examine it based on the Qur'an, based on the tradition of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam. In Surah An-Nisa, the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He states, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks to mankind in general. He says that, O mankind, have consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And I specifically translate this as consciousness of Allah, taqwa. Because taqwa literally is a state between, again, between fear and hope. This is what consciousness is. This is what taqwa is. And the best example, I know I've given this example before. If you've heard this example before, then again, maybe the reiteration is a reminder for you. If you haven't, then so we will understand specifically what is taqwa. Quite often we hear piety, or we hear it translated as fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But taqwa is literally consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a state between fear and hope. It is not fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely, meaning that it is only fear, but it is fear and hope. And the best example to give is young child. If a young child is lost in a mall, in Walmart or wherever, imagine the feeling of that child. That child has the state of consciousness. That child is in a state of heightened consciousness. Why is this child in a state of heightened consciousness? Because on one hand, the child has fear that they will never see their parent again, that they got lost. So they're fearing the state of loneliness, of not finding their parents. And this is why they're crying. You'll see that a long child is running around crying. But at the same time, while this child is in the state of fear of loneliness and that they may not find their parent, they still have hope. And how do we see that? Because they're calling out their parent, mommy, mommy, daddy. So they're crying out of fear, but out of hope they're calling. This is consciousness. This is taqwa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is calling mankind to this consciousness, that have this state, again, of hopefulness, but at the same time, a fear. And with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we will understand that consciousness or taqwa with regards to Allah means that we have hope that we will do our duty and our responsibility, and that we will maintain our relationship and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, there may be some fear that we may act in a way, that we may do something, we may commit some sort of sin, that it breaks our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what taqwa is. That while we are fearful that we may do something wrong, but we are hoping that, no, we always do what is right, or if we've done something wrong, that we return back again to that state of maintaining our ties and our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says that fear, or have consciousness of Allah who has created you, min nafsin wahida. And again, immediately what we see here, as we stated, that tawheed is not simply theoretical. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's drawing your attention and your consciousness to this idea that you've all been created from one source, one nafs, as He states. that though you are different in your individuality, but you all return and go back to one source, one beginning. And that one beginning begins also with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this nafs here is nafs, that soul which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, that individual, Prophet Adam, the first of man, the first of, again, our generation of creation, as according to some of the riwayat, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created 1,000 Adams, and you're from this Adam, one particular Adam. So, we are all from that one source, nafsun wahida. And nafs here, simply meaning that source, meaning Adam, because quite often somebody asks about this idea or this particular term that is used. You know, one of our brothers here, he asks, that what is the meaning of nafs? Again, you have to look at nafs within the context. That nafs, sometimes it means the soul. Nafs, sometimes it means, again, the soul as it is connected to this world. It is not always in a negative light or negative connotation. Sometimes we perceive, you know, the nafs. Oh, well, this is, you know, someone's nafs. Person's being his nafs. But what exactly is nafs? Here it means that original source, that one source that you're from. And it is Adam. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created Adam, and as He said, وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مَرْرُوحِ. And we have placed our soul. So again, Allah, He's drawing your consciousness back to this, to the, again, the connection that you have with one another as human beings. وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا. And He has created from this nafs, from this one source, زَوْجَهَا. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً. And He has brought forth many men and women from this soul, this single source, and its partner, and its spouse, being from the Prophet Adam and Hawa. And of course, perhaps the next question will come to mind that some ask, and I'm not going to go into this particular thing. So how did mankind generate? That if everyone is from this one source, so how did humanity repopulate? And there are several discussions on this particular topic, but without going into a lot of detail, the debate of what exactly happened, one of the, more straightforward answers or responses to this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent for the children of Adam, He sent for them from the Hurul Ain, maidens of paradise, and from the maidens of paradise, then they begin to have children. And of course, in one source also it says that there were some who were maidens of paradise and some who were also jinn. But then to broach this discussion and to discuss all of the possibilities and how this happened, this we'll leave this for another time, inshallah. Salawat. But what is important is that this point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says He has created you from one source. And from that one source that had its mate, had its spouse, then came forth many men and women. And what we understand from this and what we can draw from this, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, He re-emphasizes this idea of consciousness. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَأَرْحَامٍ. And He says, and have consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you, again, you interact and you question yourselves about this God. In other words, there's interaction between mankind, between humanity, based on, again, understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understanding, again, of their duty and responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so therefore we can derive from this, and we can understand from this particular verse, and it's the first verse of Surah An-Nisa, so chapter 4, verse 1, that we can understand from this that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or at least this principle of equality among ourselves, this principle of equality is not simply that we should be equal as men, or simply women, but everyone in society, whether they're male or female. Why? Because you all come from one source. And this is why, again, we see as a part of that reform that the Prophet himself, he brought to the nation, to his ummah, was this idea that, no, women also have status within the society, that they have a role within the society. One of the points, or one of the issues, or the events of Jahiliyyah during the time of the Prophet, which we spoke about, that was condemned by the Quran, is the practice of the men burying their daughters alive. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. That these young babies on the Day of Judgment, they will come forth and they will ask that for what crime have they been buried. And we see that the Prophet himself, when he came, this was one of the points of creating reform in the society, that no, that women, they have a role, they have a responsibility. Even to the point we see that at times when some women, they would come and to ask the Prophet of Allah, they would ask the Prophet of Allah about certain acts, that which they should do, what is their duty and what is their responsibility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're asking about the Sharia, and the Prophet, he would tell them, go and see Fatima. Go talk to my daughter Fatima. That she will give you the answer. She will respond to you. Again, to bring about this change within society that needed to come. One of the reasons that here we come every year and we commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi wasallam. We come and we commemorate the 40th commemoration of Imam Hussein. And again, one of the individuals, one of the persons that is, again, key to this memory is Zainab al-Kubra. That again, this is one of the philosophies that Imam Hussein, that he took the women folk so that they will see, not only witness, but again, they were the ones who, again, they founded this commemoration of Imam Hussein. And if we look exactly that what happened, who did what when, that we see that, again, the first commemoration and Azza was by Zainab al-Kubra, salamu alayhi. Again, to show and to give importance that, yes, women, they have a role in society. They have a status. But based on Jahiliyyah, as we mentioned before, in that state of unenlightenment, then yes, there's no position for women, or their rights are trampled. And as we, again, we mentioned from the very beginning, verse 50 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, that do they desire to rule and judge and govern themselves by the principles of unenlightenment, of Jahiliyyah? We mentioned that this is one of the verses that Fatima Zahra salam Allah alayha, that she recited when she went to defend her right to Fadak. That when she was told that, no, the Prophet doesn't leave inheritance. She says, you know, based on what? Of course, some hadith was given, but any hadith, if it contradicts the Quran, then that hadith is not valid. And one of the verses she recited that, yes, that Sulaiman, he inherited from Dawood. So you're telling me that a prophet does not leave inheritance? When Sulaiman, who was a prophet, and he inherited from his father Dawood, who was a prophet, says, this is the law of Allah. Then she recited, أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ? Do you want to rule by and judge and govern based on the jahiliyyah, based on those practices which are unenlightened, that are in a state of unenlightenment, a state of jahiliyyah? Why not? So, again, this idea that there should be equality among the people is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He established in the Quran. Men, women, you're all from one source. This is also reiterated again in Surah Al-Hujurat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He states, Ya ayyuha alladhina, salawat. He also states, and again talking to mankind in general, Ya ayyuha an-nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alakum shu'uban wa qabail lita'arafu innama akramakum 'indallahi atqakum. This is, O mankind, that we have created you from a male and female. Again, that one source. That source from Adam, who had his spouse, and mankind repopulated from that. Again, reiterating this idea, again, of practical tawhid, that if you want to trace your lineage, whether it be a physical lineage, and this is one of the beautiful things that if we say that, yes, physically, from a physiological sense, that yes, mankind, we all share at least a strand of DNA, which is similar, which makes us human beings, which differentiates us from other animals. And that strand of DNA that we all share, again, comes from Adam and Hawa. So, based on our physical makeup, but yes, we go back to one source. And for those who are believers, again, based on a spiritual, we come from one spiritual source as well. And that spiritual source, again, if we say that our father and mother from a physiological point of view is Adam and Eve, that our source from a spiritual point of view is the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That he, actually in one hadith he states, and he tells Imam Ali alayhi wasallam, he says, Ya Ali, ana wa ant abawa hadhihi al-ummah. He says, O Ali, you and I, we are the fathers. We are the fathers of this ummah. So it's even more important for us as believers, as followers of the Prophet Muhammad, as followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim afsalatu wasalam, that among ourselves we establish this, again, this brotherhood, this unity, that we make no differences among ourselves except for based on taqwa. That's not only based on a physical, we have one physical, again, point of return, we also have a spiritual point of return, and that is the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim afsalatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Ya ayyuha an-nas, O mankind, we have created you from male and female. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ. And we have created you into, again, tribes and nations. And why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you into tribes and nations? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the creator, He can create everyone to look all the same. This is possible. That if He wanted everyone to look one way, exact same hairstyle, eyes, color, nose, language, down to the finest point, He can do this. He can make us all look the same. Again, I don't know if anyone has twins in their family. Sometimes you have identical twins that you really can't tell the difference. This is one proof that, yeah, he can create people that look exactly alike. But Allah says, no, He didn't do that. But He has created you in tribes. He's created you of nations. But for what purpose? لِتَعَارَفُوا, that you may come together and know one another. You may come together and appreciate your differences. You may come together, again, to know one another, to help one another, to, as people from different backgrounds, of different understandings, of different, again, levels of taqwa, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of different, whatever, physical strength, mental strength, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, He has blessed you with, to know one another, to share, again, your knowledge with one another, to share your culture with one another. And not to take your differences or your distinctions among yourselves as something that, oh, well, because I am distinguished in this way, I'm better than this individual. Or I'm better than that individual. Or these people, their classes, or this is based on jahiliyyah. All of that is jahiliyyah. Because again, it goes against this principle which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is putting forth. لِتَعَارَفُوا. Yes, you're different. You have different families. You have different tribes. You know. And unfortunately, sometimes we say, oh, well, if we are from this particular place, or you know, we're from Meshed versus those who are from Isfahan or Qum, or from Karachi versus those from Lahore, then we make all of these superficial differences among ourselves. Oh, well, I speak Urdu, and they speak Punjabi, and Punjabi is not like Urdu. SubhanAllah. Rather than taking these points that, oh, well, we are different in these ways, and I can learn from this person. This person may have something that, again, I don't have, and it can improve who I am as a person, as an individual. And likewise, I may have something that this individual does not have, and I can share with him, again, my experiences, my thoughts, my way of life, my understanding of things, that perhaps it will help that person and that individual. And this is why we see, again, the Prophet, he emphasized this time and time again in his life. One of the more famous hadith, that the statements that he made, that he says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ وَاحِدْ وَآبَاءُكُمْ وَاحِدْ. He says that your Lord, and Lord, Rabb, the one who, again, who is responsible for your upbringing. Rabb, this is what Rabb literally means. One who gives al-tarbiyah, to raise you. So it says, إِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ وَاحِدْ. That's Allah, your God. The one who, again, who guides you, He's one. وَأَبَاءُكُمْ وَاحِدْ. And your father is one. That source of your, again, your existence is one. And he says, وَلَا فَضْلَ لِلْعَرَبْ عَلَى الْعَأْجِمِ. And there's no special status for those who are Arab over those who are not Arab. وَلَا لِلْعَرَبْ وَلَا لِعَجِمِ عَلَى الْعَرَبْ. And there's no special status for those who are not Arabs over those who are Arab. وَلَا لِأَحْمَرْ عَلَى أَسْوَدْ وَلَا لِأَسْوَدْ عَلَى أَحْمَرْ. And there's no special status for those who are, again, who are red in their skins, literally, versus those who are black, and black over those who are red. Again, because this is one of the ills of the society at the time of Rasulullah. And we see this, that on several times, once in, with regards to Salman, the Farsi, that some of, again, these are people who gave their shahada, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. But then one day, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Again, inshallah, Allah salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. That as some of the, again, so-called companions of Rasulullah, as they were sitting and they were speaking about their tribe and their forefathers, that, oh, we're from this tribe and our father is this and we are from this lineage, they look towards Salman Farsi and says, and what is your lineage? Who are your fathers? And this was, again, to belittle Salman Farsi. And it so happened that Rasulullah, he was passing at that time, and he says, Salman minna Ahlul Bayt. That if you want to trace his lineage, then it is from us, it is from the Ahlul Bayt. Again, and this is why, again, that hadith that we mentioned before, that the Prophet, he says, O Ali, you and I are the fathers of this ummah. Again, if we are following in the footsteps of Rasulullah, we're following in the footsteps of Ahlul Bayt alayhim afsalatu wasalam. Again, like Salman, who became known as Salman Muhammadi, again, you and I become Al-Husayn al-Muhammadi, Mahdi al-Muhammadi. Meaning that we live by those principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established in the Qur'an, those principles that the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt have lived by. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has created you so that you may share with one another. In fact, if you really want to understand, again, these differences and why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you different, then we look towards verse 22 of Surah Ar-Rum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he explains it. He says,
min ayatina khalqu as-samawati wal-ard wa ikhtilafu al-sinatikum wa alwanikum.
He says, among the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his creating of the heavens and earth. And of course, we often look to this. And sometimes we say, well, yes, one of the best proofs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we look at this universe. Look at the heavens and the earth and how it has been created. The magnificent detail that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has put in the creation of this world. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's adding something that we quite often don't look at. And we don't take as his signs, he says, and he is from his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth. And also the differences in your tongue, in your speech, in the way you speak, the different languages that you have. Wa alwanakum, and your different and variations in colors. He says, this is from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the purpose of these signs, that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives his signs, that he shows his signs to mankind, that perhaps they may understand him. That those signs will, again, they will take you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَا لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that the reason that he sends his signs, that he presents these things to you, whether it is his signs in the heavens, in the afaq, or فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. And of course, we quite often, we understand, or it is explained that, yes, these signs which are within ourselves, that we look completely within our own selves. We look at, oh, well, yes, I've been created, I've been blessed, or I've been given understanding, intellect. But if we, again, connect these verses and connect what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating, which we should do, that we see that even, again, understanding anfus and nafs here, that he has created the signs in yourselves, meaning also among yourselves. That just as you look towards the heavens and earth, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he says, travel, go on earth, look at the signs, see all of these signs. Again, to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, to make your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just look towards yourselves. Look to the person who's next to you. Yes, he's different. His language is different. His shape is different. His color is different. But all of these are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق. In other words, we should be able to, again, to look at one another. We should be able to perceive one another and understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through seeing each other. But often, as we're saying, this is, again, these are based on principles of Tawheed. These are based on principles, again, of reforming the self. Of reforming the self and living the life of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. This is based on a state of, again, of enlightenment, of reform. Self-reform, because definitely we all have to reform ourselves. And if we truly react ourselves, that how many times have I looked at a person and from seeing that individual, it made me reflect upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what that person he looks like, she looks like, no matter what that person, again, how that person speaks, their language, a person could be handicapped. But do we look at that person like, oh, well, that person is handicapped, or this person looks this way or that way, and because they look this way or that way, then, you know, I kind of taken aback? Or do we look at this person and we see that, subhanAllah, this is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this individual in this way. Or even if, again, something has happened to this person, that maybe they lost a limb or something. But we don't know. Maybe that was a blessing from Allah, from that person. Or maybe it was a calamity and we've been saved and spared from that calamity. But we should not look at any individual and be taken aback because of the way they look, because of their accent, the way they speak. Actually, to the opposite, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, he says, no, this is a sign. We've created this sign for you. Look at the sign. حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ حَقٍ. So that you may understand that, yes, Allah is haq, is the truth. That Allah is the creator of everything. And He created these differences. And not only did He create these differences, He created it with perfection. That in that other individual, there is a perfection that person has that I don't have. Because Allah, when He creates with perfection. He creates with precision. And this is, again, one of the statements of, again, some of the Arafat, some of the scholars who are very saintly. They said that, yes, in everything that Allah has created, there is a perfection in it. Even if we may perceive, oh, well, there's a defect there. He says, no, there is even a perfection and a precision that we may not see, we may be overlooking. He says, but if, again, if we reform ourselves and we look closer to, again, we are closer to our spiritual selves, we will understand that perfection with which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created every single creation. Again, this is the way we should live our life. When we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ziyarat al-Ashura, that, oh Allah, make my life like the life of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahya Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Wa mamati mamati Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. And make my, again, my death like the death of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Again, they live by these principles of Tawheed. They live by these principles, again, of respect for humanity, of brotherhood, of equality, and of taqwa, having consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their interaction. So they lived by that, and they died for that. and gave their life for that. And when we understand this, we understand the importance of the Shahadat of Ahlul Bayt. That what were they fighting for? They were not fighting simply that they will gain power and position. No. They were fighting and dying for this principle, that you and I may understand that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. That you and I may, again, return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that state of enlightenment, a state of purity, a state of consciousness. They died and they gave their life so that, again, that perhaps one day that you and I, we can live in a state of enlightenment, that we can live in a state of harmony. We can live in a state that where we look at one another, where we see one another, and we see in each other the creation of Allah. That we perceive from one another that yes, this is a creation of Allah. And in this creation of Allah, there's a perfection that should remind me of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, when you lose an individual who lives his life based on this principle, a person who gives his life, who lives their life based on this principle and trying to, again, instill this principle in others, at that point we understand the loss. And when we see that, again, mankind has not, again, elevated themselves to live by the standard, that it becomes even more difficult. It becomes even more sad that we live in the state that we live in, that people are living under oppression, people are, again, killing one another based on arbitrary differences. At that point, we perceive the loss. The sadness of Ahlul Bayt alayhim afsalatu wassalam. That when Imam Hussein, he gave his life on the battlefield of Karbala. It is understanding this that one can understand the longing for Ahlul Bayt, that when they were in Damascus, and had been released from the dungeons of Yazid, that why they would want to go back to Karbala to visit the place where the shuhada had given their life, to remember the sacrifice that they made on the plains of Karbala and for what reason they made their sacrifice. It stated that as the caravan, they entered into Karbala, that there were several individuals who were there in the plains of Karbala making their ziyarat and visitation to the graves of the shuhada. Among them were Jabir, Ibn Abdullah Ansari, and there were others. It is stated in the Maqtal that when the caravan entered, it is said that Zainab, salamullah alayha, she was seen to be riding upon a camel. And that she came down, when she came off of her camel, it seemed that she was holding something. And it said that it is as she was holding something that was covered by a cloth, perhaps under her abaya. And it said that when she saw Zainab, salamullah alayha, that she came close to the grave of Imam Hussein, that she pulled what she had under her cloth, she pulled it out, and it was the head of Imam Hussein. They said, Zainab, salamullah alayha, that at the grave of Imam Hussein, she began to cry out, and the women and children, they began to cry when they saw that here is the head of Imam Hussein, the severed head of Imam Hussein. They began to cry, and Zainab, salamullah alayha, she began to cry, she began to say, Hussein, she began to cry out, oh Hussein, oh my brother, wa ya 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 habib rasul. Rasulillah. She began to cry out that this is the beloved grandson of Rasulullah. وَبْنَا مَكَّةِ وَمَدِينَ. That here's the son, this is the young boy who grew up in Mecca and Medina. That she was crying for Imam Hussein. It said at one point that Zainab salamullah alayha, that she fainted upon the grave of Imam Hussein. They said that some of the women then came and they sprinkled water on the face of Zainab to bring her back to consciousness. And then Zainab salamullah alayha, that when she came back to consciousness, that she began to tell about the shuhada, that what happened in the plain, on the plains of Karbala. One of the poets, he writes this poem, that is if Zainab salamullah, she was saying this, Ya nazinin bi Karbala, هل عندكم خبر بقتلانا وما أعلامها. That all those who have come to Karbala, that you've come to see what happened, do you know that what happened in Karbala? Do you know the signs of our shuhada? Do you know that how one of them, they were hit upon the head with a mace and he fell over and he was trampled? Do you know about our shuhada, about the one who took a spear in his chest, Alil Akbar, that he fell from his horse? Do you know about our shuhada, that how one of our shuhada, Abbas, that he lost his right arm and he lost his left arm? Do you know about our shuhada, how the Imam Hussein, how he was killed, how he was beheaded while he was in the state of prostration? But not only this, مَا حَالُ جُثَّةِ مَيِّتٍ فِي أَرْضِكُمْ بَقِيَتْ ثُلَاثَ لَا يُزَارُ مُقَامُهَا. That these shuhada, that after they had fallen into the plains of Karbala, after they had fallen upon this land, for 3 days their bodies were left on the plains of Karbala. For 3 days these bodies were not buried, and no one came to visit these graves, these bodies. بالله هل رفعت جنازته وهل صلى صلاة الميتين إمامها. That even this is the Imam of the time, this was the Imam al-Hussein, that he was left upon the plains of Karbala, that his body was left while his head was upon a spear, that no one came to bury these bodies. It was Imam Zain al-Abidin who had to come back and to bury these bodies. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم بحق هذه المجلس الحسينية اغفر ذنوبنا واستر عيوبنا وقضي حوائجنا واشفي مرضانا وارحم أمواتنا وعجل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره والمستشهدين بين يديه وتحت لوائه. Allah, by the blessing of this commemoration of Imam Hussein, forgive our sins, cover our shortcomings, grant us our needs, our hajat, cure those who are sick and ill among us, have mercy upon our deceased ones, and hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman. Make us among his helpers, his companions, and those who sacrifice our lives for him. And as there is a request from one of the brothers, one of the mu'mineen, who is facing great difficulties, inshallah, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lift these difficulties of this brother, as well as our own difficulties, and difficulties of our friends and our family members. 5 times, Amma Yujib. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Amma Yujibul Mudtarra Idha Da'ahu Yakshifu Su'. Amma Yujibul Mudtarra Idha Da'ahu Yakshifu Su'. Amma Yujibul Mudtarra Idha Da'ahu Yakshifu Su'. عمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء عمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء اللهم اكشف الضر عن كل مؤمن ومؤمنة بحق محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآله الطاهرين. إن شاء الله زيارة. السلام عليك يا نبي الله، السلام عليك يا حبيب الله، السلام عليك يا صاحب السفينة، أيها المدفون في المدينة، ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا أمير المؤمنين ويا عصوب الدين علي بن أبي طالب وصي رسول الله، ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا بضعة رسول الله، السلام عليك يا فاطمة زهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وقرة عين الرسول، ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا إمام المتقين يا حسن بن علي أيها المجتبى، ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك، عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. السلام عليكم جميع شهداء كربلاء، ورحمة الله وبركاتهم. السلام عليكم أئمة المعصومين من ذرية الحسين. السلام عليك يا مولاي يا علي بن الحسين زين العابدين. السلام عليك يا مولاي يا محمد بن علي باقر علم النبيين. السلام عليك يا مولاي يا جعفر بن محمد الصادق الأمين. السلام عليك يا مولاي يا موسى بن جعفر الكاظم. السلام عليك يا مولاي يا علي بن موسى الرضا المرتضى. السلام عليك يا مولاي يا محمد بن علي الجواد. السلام عليك يا مولاي يا علي بن محمد الحادي. السلام عليك يا مولاي يا حسن بن علي العسكري. السلام عليك يا مولاي يا صاحب العصر والزمان. السلام عليك يا خليفة الرحمن. السلام عليك يا إمام الإنس والجان. السلام عليك يا معز المؤمنين المستضعفين. السلام عليك يا مذل الكافرين المستكبرين. عجل الله تعالى فرجك، وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك، وجعل الله من أعوانك وأنصارك والمستشهدين بين يديك وتحت لوائك. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة بن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. And please recite Surah Fatiha for all of the marhumin, for the mu'minin and mu'minat, preceded with the loud salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Brothers, as a reminder, tomorrow's program, there's a Julus in downtown Dallas. The time, inshallah, 12:30, downtown Dallas. There is a tray in the back. They are requesting some funds to help meet their expenses, so open your hearts and your wallets to help them. Inshallah, tomorrow night's program will start again at 6 p.m. with Niaz, 7 p.m. Salat al-Maghrib and Isha, followed by the remainder of the program. Bar Muhammad Wale Muhammad Salwat.